Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, May 3rd. Wow.
Yeah.
121st day of the new year. Join us this afternoon. Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty darn good.
Well, it's nice to see that you showed up this month.
I've been kind of busy the last couple of months.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out why, what you've been up to,
what's been
a higher priority than this program.
All right.
We want to know. And
I've
got
some answers.
Okay. And we'll also get an update on the courthouse security situation.
Yes.
All right. When we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 4:16. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. It's a proverb this afternoon. An Irish proverb.
Oh, great.
I thought you'd be excited
about
that.
I'm good with that.
The greedy man stores all but friendship. Yeah.
I like that.
All right. Snuck one past you, huh? So what was keeping you busy these last little weeks?
Well, see, last month I was in San Diego for a state sheriff's conference for 3 or 4 days. So it was a long week because I started off going down to Mendocino County down to Fort Bragg for the Jerry Mello Symposium at Forest, Take Back the Forest Symposium.
What'd you get out of that one?
I got quite a bit. I went to the first meeting they had when Mike Thompson was here back in, it would have been the fall of last year. And I'm always skeptical when I go to those types of events because I look to see how much longevity is there. Because usually people, we talked about that earlier, become apathetic. And but this, I was really impressed. I went there and there was probably 200-300 people in that auditorium. And they had some, people of notoriety there, and they put on a very good symposium. It was done well. I think the biggest thing about it is it keeps everyone involved and engaged in doing something. So far it's been meetings, but it's been very informational. So I think it's got some teeth to it.
Is there a chance to take back the forest?
Well, I think so, especially if you get people in these communities behind it. I mean, that was obviously a very dramatic event, which cost someone his life. It surely stirred up the community, and his widow is extremely engaged, and what a great lady she is. And I think you're going to see at least in that forest. You're going to see some action.
Is there anything that's transferable, Mike, into other areas also, the ruralness and just the we've had it?
Well, I think so. I think this whole marijuana culture, and I've watched it evolve over the last 30 years, it's gotten to a point where, again, we've gotten to a tipping point, so to speak, where people are saying is enough is enough. We've run the gamut of this thing. We're now into medical marijuana, and out of that comes closer steps to legalization. I got into a discussion with someone not too long ago about the legalization aspect, which is a whole different program. We could spend a whole hour talking about that, but I think people are at that tipping point again where they're saying, especially after an event like that, they're saying, this is too much. It's beyond anything that's reasonable.
I think there seems to be a general agreement, how's that for a triple hedge, huh? That if it's to be legalized, it has to be done nationally.
Oh, most definitely.
That it's not a California
no.
issue. Certainly isn't a local issue. But the medicinal marijuana and the self-grow, the 3 to the 99 range definition, that seems to be, if I just outside looking in, listening to you and a couple of the other folks too, that seems to be, well, you know, I wouldn't even go with the marijuana growing itself, more of a culture of drugs, an acceptance of a drug culture. I think when I step back and I look at Mendocino, Humboldt, and down Lord counties, Trinity County certainly also, that's what we've kind of evolved into.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a laissez-faire, almost a, hey, if you want to come on in, welcoming attitude, rather than something a little bit more conservatively defined.
Yeah, even with medicinal marijuana, there has to be some type of national referendum, or at least some type of, on the national level, acceptance of it. There really isn't. You know, there is that misnomer out there that the federal government recognizes or has some recognition of
it.
It's
a West Coast thing.
Yeah. You know, and you just said it yourself right there, the West Coast thing. You talk to Mike Thompson. There's a prime example. He says his colleagues in Congress, beyond, you know, east of the Rocky Mountains, look at him like, what?
Stupefied.
Yeah. They have no concept of what's going on out here. I was looking at Fox News the other night. They had the five. They have the five that come on and talk, and they were talking about legalization.
Beckle the token.
Yeah. They were talking about the legalization of marijuana, and I could tell just listening to them, they have no concept of what is going on the ground here. You know, there's no reality check at all. They need to bring experts in to really talk about the issue so they know what is going on in our communities.
They take advantage of the experience that you guys are dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is there any of the normal representation, that sounds weird, normal representation of medicinal marijuana or depiction that is accurate?
Well, I'd almost have to say no. And a lot of it is because man, as is his nature, as abusing, taking advantage of this 215. Now, does that mean there are no legitimate patients out there? No, I think there are. But generally, it is being abused by those that are you know, taking advantage of the whole situation. And it casts a bad light on everyone else. I think there are some legitimate people out there that could definitely benefit from the use of medicinal marijuana.
KINS, News and Information Times, 422. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 426. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, are the sheriffs of Del Norte, Trinity, Mendocino, Siskiyou, are you guys all in the same boat with this stuff? Or is it the coastal guys kind of saying, we're going to kick back a little bit, or confront, pushback, and the other guy's going, you know, we're so small and we're so staff-wise and we're so large geographically, can't do it. Yeah. We got other things to worry about.
Well, to varying degrees. I mean, and this is why I say that, you know, the CAMP program is pretty much a dead issue in California. There's still a semblance of CAMP, and they've broken the state into three regions because everyone in the state now utilizes CAMP or tries to utilize CAMP in one regard or another. So region one.
Really, everybody has got?
Everybody's got marijuana issues.
Even the metropolitans?
Yeah, because most of them do have some rural area and or indoor issue. But they've broken it into three regions. So region one, which we're in, goes from about north of Sacramento north. you know, there's 18 or 20 counties in there, and we're all vying for some helicopter time or some assistance at a level that we can, you know, combat this issue. And some counties are going to be left out, and there's no way around that. So that's why I've been very aggressive with the feds, and getting them in here to help me with this problem in Humboldt County, because we cannot do it without some intervention. There's no way.
What is the attitude of the federal government? You hear about the DOJ coming in, and you hear about DEA. Okay, fine. But you hear about more like laser strikes rather than, you know, why not have a big old office in the middle of Eureka and another one in Garberville? If you're going to do it, fly the flag. I mean, we've talked about some of the markings. You have the cars around, let people know you're there, and really make a big
resources. It all comes down to resources. The feds don't have the resources either. That's why I've been lobbying them so heavily for Humboldt County. I'm worried, you know, taking care of our county. But a lot of it is resources and the ability to prosecute at the federal level. You know, you've got a U.S. Attorney's office located in San Francisco. I met with the U.S. Attorney a few times. She's willing to take on some cases. But when I say take on some cases federally, I'm talking maybe one or two a year, if that. I mean, that's a drop in the bucket for Humboldt County.
Yeah, those better be really big cases to have that impact.
Right. So it comes down to being, again, a local issue, but getting the assistance we can to deal with it locally. And I think we're going to do well. It just depends on how committed they really are. Well, this will be a test for us this year to see just how committed they are to coming in and assisting us. Because they still contend the same thing. Federally, marijuana production is illegal. We're going to do what we can to deal with it.
What about the drug asset forfeiture approach? You know, I would think that if somebody's growing out on one of these large ranches, I realize that a lot of them don't own the property that they're growing on, or the cash that's associated with some of these arrests, if you turn that over to an investment in additional law enforcement, couldn't that more than pay for itself?
Well, Humboldt County, at this point, we are one of the largest counties that seizes assets. We because there's a lot of assets here to seize, but I'm talking about monetary. So we end up seizing quite a bit of money in Humboldt County because it's associated with everything we do practically. But there are strict guidelines as to what that money can be used for. Can't use it to supplant. You can't use it to or to supplement. You cannot use it for salaries. For people, it is used for stuff, things you need to purchase.
So it's an asset acquisition fund,
right? And like if we had helicopter time, we needed, we could surely acquire helicopter time. If we have equipment we need, we can purchase equipment. We're using asset forfeiture funds to fund our office for the drug task force.
But you can't use it to buy more feet on the ground to do more seizing and really get into it.
Right. And there's reasons for that. And I somewhat understand that. But, yeah, somewhat.
So you've been working with the budget this afternoon, huh?
All week.
It would seem logical if they could loosen that up a little bit so at least you could connect it to continuing drug-related activities rather than some of the other choices that might be out there for staffing.
Well, yeah, and again, you know, over the last 20 years, they've tightened up the parameters on that.
KINS, News and Information Times, 431.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, with the marijuana, kind of a final wrap-up on it, do you see a simple solution? Do you see anything in the next 5 to 10 years? Is it going to be more of the same? My sense is that there's a boat without a rudder on it.
Yeah, I think as long as the national view on it is as it is, you know, the stance by the federal government, you're not going to see anything fixed in the short term. You know, the state, even though the state has a desire to deal with it locally, the federal government has made it very clear that they're driving the boat, more or less. You know, and whether they have enough teeth behind it to really enforce it is still an unknown.
What's the status with the guys around the corner from the studio here, the federal bus that happened there?
I don't know. We weren't involved in that.
They don't talk to you guys at all?
Yeah, I've had very little contact on that. They utilized the district attorney's office and didn't even bother to use the drug task force. We've had discussions about that.
Oh, I see. Ergo, the short, concise response. All right. Let's move on to Occupy then. Smart guy.
All right.
We had May Day,
mm-hmm.
such as it was.
Yeah.
Did you or Caltrans or EPD have any kind of situation associated with that?
No. You know, the biggest thing for the sheriff's office is that we're in a maintenance mode, and that's what I've told my folks. In fact, I was out there yesterday morning removing some signs that were leaned up against the flagpole. You know, and that's what we're trying to get across to everyone. And I went by there again this afternoon and this morning, and everything was clearly on the sidewalk. There was no clear violations of the urgency ordinance. So what we're trying to do is maintain that. So as far as county property, again, that's inside the city limits, you know, we have been controlling that and maintaining that. You know, outside county property, inside the city limits. And I'm definitely not trying to push this off on EPD or Caltrans or higher patrol, but that's definitely that's their jurisdiction. And I don't know if there's a plan for that. I really don't know what that issue is going to be at this point. All I know is that we're trying to maintain the county side of things, and we're working on that, and we have our bumps and bruises here, right now, here and there. But I think a lot of people don't understand that too. I fielded some calls when, and I think you had a short blip on the radio about that Sunshine for Humboldt. And I think it's a misnomer. People don't understand that the supervisors have done what they could do as far as county property inside the city limits, and they have enacted the urgency ordinance, and we are maintaining that. But the bigger scope of things is outside the county purview.
As you look out down the road, how long do we being the community,
mm-hmm.
have to endure the look that's at the courthouse right now? I can't imagine anybody having any kind of feeling of pride
I have,
with the way that it looks.
I know where you're going. I have a short answer for you.
Good. I'm done with my question.
Okay. We all know that those that are powers to be in the city of Eureka and the county of Humboldt are elected officials, and they work for you. And I'm not saying that they're not doing their job, but I think elected officials need to hear from the constituency of how they feel about this. And I think they're hearing it more and more, that people are fed up with it. There is no...
Well, what can they do? The sidewalk still is public access, public property.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really limit that. I mean, Caltrans, I suppose, could whip another ordinance out on them, but okay, fine. That doesn't do anything. But it's almost embarrassing.
Well, answer me this then. Why don't we have it in Fortuna? Why is it not in Reading?
Because
why
there are no government services in Fortuna.
What about Reading?
They're not there.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we have communities up and down the state and the nation that have big metropolis areas.
You want the big picture? We were talking about it in the first half, the acceptance of the drug culture.
No, it might
and
be
I know they're not
it.
All druggies, so no. Save the phone calls and the emails. But that acceptance of anything is okay in Humboldt County, except economic development.
Yeah. What's going on in front of the courthouse has nothing to do with economic development. I'll go out on a limb and I'll say that as loud as you want me to. What's going on in front of the courthouse is we have a group of people who have found a way to circumvent the system as best they can. I would welcome occupiers out there if they were truly occupiers, but I've been going out in front of that courthouse for the last 3 or 4 months engaging these folks in conversation. They're not occupiers. We have people out there that are just there because they want to cause trouble, many of them. I can't say all of them, but many of them.
Anarchist.
Okay, use that word. What did we just have come out of Missouri? The bridge.
Missourians?
Not Missouri, Ohio. The bridge issue.
Anarchist.
They said they have a clear link between them and an Occupy group there. And I'm not saying that occupiers are anarchists. Don't get me wrong. But we have some that have infiltrated that organization and that movement. And I believe that there are people out there that just want to cause trouble. Now, I'm not gonna paint them all with a broad brush. I'm sure there are some out there that legitimately have a reason to be there and feel that they're doing the right thing. But overwhelmingly, many of them I talk to, they're just out there to cause as much trouble as they can. There are health issues going on out there. There are issues that are going to dramatically affect the public. You know, if not now, in the future, and
so if they want to stir the pudding, why aren't they doing more than just being as passive as they appear?
Well, gee, best thing I can think of is because the path of least resistance, you know, path of least they're as long as they stay as subdued as they are, and people more or less. Give them a pass, then they're going to continue to do what they're doing because they know they can go that far. We've gone up to the line, and they do that a lot. They'll test us. They'll go up to the line and realize, okay, this is as far as I can go, so I'll stay back here. And every now and then they'll push that line, trying to see how much further they can go with the antics that they're displaying. And I
the antics, are these what we've heard about, or are there other things going on also?
Well, you know, it's the health issues. It's the trying to set up kitchens and bring in food whenever they can. It's putting up signs they're not supposed to be. It's the continued, my deputies have to go out there in the middle of the night and kick people off county property because they still try to sleep there. You know, I think the Sunshine for Humboldt thing you had was the best when he said, we're going to get back to a reasonable form of protest. This is not a reasonable form of protest. This is beyond reasonable, and I think that's what people need to realize. You know, we have county workers that have to go in and out of there every day. Many of them are now using the 4th Street side because they don't want to deal with the 5th Street side. Is it better than it was a month ago? Yeah, I think it's a little bit better. You know, we've taken the fence down now, but still, people don't feel comfortable going in and out of that entrance if they don't have to.
KINS, News and Information Time is 4:43. If you need an escort, call our friend Mike. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, the occupied May Day, whatever you want to reference for this week's activity, Seattle, significant issue. Oakland, significant issue. The Ohio one, obviously. I mean, if they start messing at that level, I think they probably haven't really understood what they're playing with. It's not sticks. It's people.
Right.
What do you see? What do you sense throughout the country? What do you sense locally? Is this something that's going to kind of be sidelined? Is it going to continue for a number of years? What sense do you have? Is this thing just kind of, whether it lingers or languishes, that's a determination from perspective.
Well, I think it's morphed a number of times. I think it continues to change and evolve into something different, which then propels it on for an even longer period of time. In the infancy of this thing, it was very clear what they were out there for. As it has come along, there's been every issue you could think of that has been displayed on the front lawn of the courthouse, and I think nationwide. So this thing, it continues to evolve to fit the moment or the instance, or if there's some national issue that has taken place, then now that becomes the issue for a period of time. So there's always fodder for the cannon, more or less. How's that sound?
Cannon sounds like weaponry. Sounds like there's a notice being served if anybody's paying attention.
Oh, no. No, not at all.
Across the bow, huh? That whole reference?
I think that's a lot of it, is it just continues to evolve, and there's always a cause. We can make a cause
that's
out
right.
of anything.
I don't see that there would be an end to it. Yeah, if the folks doing it, they've got the time, they've got the will, why not? Why not be there instead of being in the woods or being some of these other places
that's a lot of it more
routinely run into them?
That's a lot of it. Yeah, it's easier to be out there, to be in the limelight, and we have people, and that's why we've had the mental health out there with their van. We have people that need services that are out there also. And some of these people we've dealt with a number of times, and the answer every time is not to take them into custody and put them into the jail. That's not the answer. Many of them need services through mental health and public health and that type of thing. And we're trying to meet those demands on a countywide basis. And I think we've had limited success, but still there are others out there that that's what they want to do, and they're going to keep doing it, and there's no motivation for them to do anything else.
So let me throw it back on you. Why Humboldt County?
I think because Humboldt County has always been a place of some type of a free spirit, getting involved in issues, issue-oriented, issue-bound, more accepting of that. I think there are some good qualities in that come out in Humboldt County, a very free-spirited community.
Thanks for coming by.
All right, thank you.
We've been Talking Shop with Mike Downey. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.